Good morning, Delissa.
Good morning, John.
On that nice, bright, breezy note, our morning subject today is going to be interesting, and I think we might have a variety of mixed views. If you want to email at all on the session, it's studio@westkentradio.co.uk. So the question is, are men dragging their feet over love? And what to do and what not to do to make sure a man walks your way? Talcum powder. Okay. That's got her off to a good laugh. Now we're ready to go.
Oh, ever the jokes, John. You always open laugh first thing in the morning. Anyway, well, I thought we'd start with some good news, which is, although it seems that men are dragging their feet, 70% of all divorces are instigated by women. So watch yourself, John. And that 50% of women divorcees never want to remarry, but only 30% of men who are divorced would not take the plunge again. So that's good news. 70% of men would remarry, and not many women would. So that does mean that there's a lot more men out there than women, really, looking for a date. But nevertheless, men, it seems that men aren't really making much of a commitment. So what's the problem? Women are saying to me that men seem less likely to commit to a relationship. They're saying that men aren't stepping up to the plate. And while we all know that January is the month when a nice warm chamomile tea, a hot electric blanket and Alexa are enough, it does seem it's the month of being particularly flat for women. So why aren't men stepping up to the plate? We don't know. We're going to have some guesses, though. It does seem that women are going out on dates with men that they've met online, and they're just being faffy, basically. They're not taking the next stage in the relationship. They're not saying, let's go for a walk, let's go to the theatre, let's go to the play, let's go to the pub for a drink, let's go see my grandmother's coffin, which has happened to me. sort of things happen. But it seems as though, you know, men aren't being very proactive, I think it is. And I heard a story, which I'm going to repeat, which I've heard before, which I heard not that long ago, which was a friend of mine was texted by the guy that she was meeting that evening to say that his piles hurt. And I know I've told that story before, but it just seems like such... What is going on with men? You don't say those sort of things. You know, why are they not being proactive? I do have an answer, John. I do think I know what the reason is. Should we have it after some music, or shall I go into it now, what I think
well,
it is?
Well, we've got a few minutes before we go into the next track. So... is there a case as far as men saying, once bitten, twice shy?
That could be it. That could be it.
You've got the sticker facing you, that's fine.
Have you got me now, John? Sorry. Yeah. That could be it. But I think it's basically online dating is causing the issue, I think. Because I think that there's, it makes it seem like the grass is greener. There's too much out there.
Possibly. The other thing that was going through my mind is, the sort of emasculation of men. That's a very tricky subject because, You hear stories about women objecting to doors open being open for them and men being polite. And I think the general reaction is, well, why the hell should we bother?
I totally agree with that. I also think that men, I mean, you're saying once bitten, twice shy. I think from the stats we've just been looking at, you know, that 70% of men want to remarry. There's another problem. And a lot of that problem is men are scared.
Yes.
They're scared. They're scared because, I mean, I have a friend, women are coming out of the woodwork saying that he assaulted them and all sorts of things. There's some very strange things going on. And I think it's worrying for men. They're frightened. They're really frightened. They don't know what to do around women anymore. And women are stronger and physically more equal. And yeah, it's becoming an issue. I think that's one of the problems. I also think that lockdown taught us all to be independent and that maybe we don't need company as much. I think that's one of the issues that we've come across. And I think that, but I do think that, and I'm going to go into into after the next track why I think and what I think we can do about it, what I think the issue is. But I think that online dating has created an issue where it's too easy to find somebody new for men.
Well, some of us like life a bit easier. I wouldn't know where to start. I went online.
Yeah.
And I think it worked out.
I think you definitely did. I think that I think the online dating scene is terrific, and I, as you know, I always think that you should mix online dating with real life. But I think it's changed people's attitudes. Not everybody's, and I think it's been brilliant for people, but I think it's changed the attitude because we've now created a sort of swipe society where you can move on to the next one far too easily.
I think it depends on the dating site. The dating site I used was specific, and we met up before. We corresponded online for a good couple of months before we actually met, and more or less hit it off after we met. But I'd also been out with other women from the website, and yes, we visited National Trust properties and that, but there wasn't the spark there. But it wasn't dangerous. No. You know, COVID obviously affected a lot of all this. But some women are scary. They want to take over.
Yeah.
You know, to de-skill us men. Now, we don't mind being looked after, but, we do like to have a little bit of responsibility now and then.
I talk about it in my book, John, that there's a blend between being strong and still being feminine. You know, being strong is about setting your boundaries. It's not about taking somebody's life over, is it really? It's about being strong in yourself, strong and confident in your personality, but at the same time, you set your boundaries. You know who you are. And you're feminine at the same time, because I think femininity is one of the greatest female characteristics.
Oh yes, the soft,
beautiful, isn't it? It's what makes women women.
And if you go back to the some of the old black and white photos from the '50s and the '60s, you can see some pictures there of some very hard looking women, and you think, she scares me. I had a great grandmother like that. She scared everybody. But I didn't know her that well, but you know, she was big, massive, and whatever. Okay, let's play a track of a Step Up, Dragging Their Feet Over Love. That was Paloma Faith. She's not a good girl, she's a bad woman. Right. With me this morning is Delisa Needham, and, she's going to give me a few answers now. I'm just going to sit back and gaze at her brain, working out all these comments I can make. Okay.
I think you hit on what the problem is, actually, John, is that people, you said that when you met your partner online, you exchanged, you know, messages and things and, you know, what have you, for 2 months. And I think that sounds, you're really getting to know somebody before you go and actually meet them. So you know what's going on in their mind, what kind of person they are, the way they think, before you actually go and meet them. And I think that's what's happening in a kind of younger generation, is they're rushing to it too quickly. So they're going, oh, I like that one, I'll go and meet her. And they go and meet her, and then it's like not the right one because she doesn't look right or whatever, but they've never really got to know that person. And I think that's part of what the problem is. And I think if you do online dating that way, in which you really get to know somebody and then go to meet them, you've got a better chance of it working. And if you think about it, getting to know somebody so that the physical attraction is actually the last thing, is quite interesting compared to what you do in the real world, which is where you are physically attracted to somebody you meet straight away, you set up a conversation and you get to know them. It's a complete reverse in a way, isn't it? And which is why that I always recommend you do both. Mm. You know, don't just stick to online dating, but do your online dating and do your real world dating.
I think also with the problem with online dating is that there are dangers of scams. Dangers being taken for a ride on both sides. I used to get thousands of emails every month from Russian brides or Russian girls looking for marriage. If they'd actually taken one look at my photograph, I think I'd have dissuaded them. Yeah, but most of those obviously were scams, like I'm still waiting for this money to come from Nigeria. but there are dangers, and you've got to be sure. Some of the more specialist sites, where it's common interest and things like that, they have good moderators who will notify if it's a scam, or you notify them and they will do something about it. But there are some good advice about dating. Online dating is you don't meet, or you don't give away any personal details. Build the relationship up first, and see what the reaction is. If either side are hesitant in answering questions, then discontinue the...
Yes, and always meet in a safe place and let your friend know where you are as well. Yeah, you're right, John. I mean, it doesn't mean to say those scams don't happen in the real world either.
Oh, no.
It's just that you're more vulnerable to it and more open to it in an online world. And getting to know people and being sure about people is a better thing. And very often what I say is you can track people. If somebody says they're a doctor, check them out on the medical school list and see what you can do. Your research, you can do background research quite easily. Somebody has given you any detail about them at all, you can do background research and find out about them.
Well, if you do that on me, you'll find out I'm a famous conductor and composer as well. I think that one's dead.
Anyway, so, you know, the other thing I think as well, you know, that men aren't taking relationships further forward. I think women are forgetting that relationships are made up of kindness and thoughtfulness and friendship. And those things take time sometimes to build, to make them happen. And you can't just expect somebody to, you know, be available straight away just like that. It's about actually building a friendship and companionship. And then that naturally flows forward. But I will come back to my original point, which I think that people are turning up at dates having just met somebody briefly online and they swipe sideways really quickly and move on to the next one. So they may like you, they may be interested in you, but they've already got another date set up with somebody else. And I think that's the heart of the malaise we're talking about.
So is that why men aren't opening up? Because they just don't like being swiped? You know, if there are more... Do you say there's more women out there than there are men?
No, there's less women. There's, according to the statistics, not more women out, but I think there's more women out there than men, yes. But the men that are out there are keen to be married, whereas women are not so keen. That's what the statistics say. But, you know, statistics, John.
Yeah. I think there was a famous quote about that, but I can't remember it.
I, as you know, am a great advocate of getting out there, joining clubs, you know, chatting to people in the supermarket, talking to people you meet on the bus, turning up every invite you get, meeting as many people as possible, because the more people you meet, the more chances are you will meet the one.
Yeah. Well, I like being pleasant to people in the shops and things like that. And my wife says, you're a terrible flirt. Now, is there anything I can do to improve that?
Be more of a flirt. It's absolutely wonderful. Are you actually paying strange women compliments?
I don't know. I have to go back and find out. But, in supermarket checkout, I'll say thank you and give them a smile or whatever. Friends that I know, I go to a bereavement group. I hope we're still on the air. We've got beeps going on here at the moment.
We got cut off, didn't we, for a minute there?
So in groups, as you know, I've got a weird sense of humour, and I will crack jokes and that and make people laugh. And that actually relaxes the situation. Take tense out of that. So it starts conversations. But it's all on a friendship level. It's not on a sort of a dating level, if you know what I mean.
No, I'm the same. I flirt and I crack jokes with strangers because I can't help myself. If I see a man driving a nice yellow Porsche, I always say, my God, you look so good sitting behind the wheel of that car. What do I have to do to get one of those? I do it in the supermarket with strangers. It lightens your day and it lightens their day. And I don't think you need to be introduced just to say hello and make an amusing quip to somebody. It's part of the fun of life, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know people with Porsches. I know people with conservatories. That took 3 seconds to drop on that one.
You know me, and I also say to people, smile. Smile at strangers. Smile at anybody. If they follow you down the road, run, but smile.
Kids, young kids, you know, if I give them a smile, they all light, the faces light up and...
All of us do.
It's great fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, what's next?
Well, I've got a problem.
Oh, dear.
Problem of the week. I just finished that off, though, John. I will just say what I always say. I keep repeating it. I think it's so important for, you know, women, single women who are listening. Do your online dating. Go out into the real world, though. Be proactive. Get off your bum. Meet people. Smile at people. Talk to people. The more people you meet, eventually you will meet someone. Anyway, now here's my problem. It's not my problem, but it's Julie P's problem. Julie wrote to me to say, "Dear Delissa, I'm 60 and I've decided to retire. And on my list of things I want to do in my retirement is that I want to find a man, a partner I can spend the rest of my life with, someone to share things, travel with, go to the theatre with. I want to meet someone with shared interests. I've decided to join an online dating agency, but I don't know what else to do, and I'm a little scared of doing that, as it seems quite daunting. I hope you can help me with some advice." So my response is, you know, Julie, you're not alone in your fears, because many of my dating clients are like you. I do have two other women of your age who I'm coaching who are looking for love, and just like you, they find it scary. But there's a difference between you and them, Julie. They've actually been... they didn't just start looking at 60, and I kind of wonder what Judy's been doing until the age of 60. Why have you left it till your retiring age, Julie? Maybe you've been entirely devoted to your career, I don't know, but you know, you must have been going to social events and being attractive, and if not, you'd better start now.
Yes. Well, it could have been a high-powered job and not time for social activities. You know,
no, but, you know, you nevertheless get invited to social events, and, you know, you know, I get the priority of career, but at the same time, don't just suddenly decide at 60, and if anybody else is listening, don't wait till you're 60. So anyway, one of my pieces of advice to Julie is don't go out deliberately looking for a man, because I always think that makes you feel desperate in yourself. Go out to enjoy yourself and to meet people. And, you know, meeting new people will open you up to new experiences and new acquaintances. Find new adventures to try. That's the best thing to do.
Comes to mind, if she has got interests, then there are clubs for those interests. Or go to something like U3A, because they have wide interest clubs and things like that. Yeah. And again, it's a safe environment. You join, you go along, you meet new people, men and women.
Yeah. Julie's in a very lucky position because she's obviously able to retire. Mm. She's retiring at 60, which isn't that old, and she's obviously got time and plans, and she's got a list of things that she wants to do. So, you know, get on and do those things, and chances are she will meet somebody. That's what I think.
Yeah, she needs to make the list first of what do I enjoy doing. Because if she enjoys going to the theatre, then there are theatre clubs. If she enjoys skateboarding, then best of luck to her. skateboarding clubs. But it's you've got to do your groundwork first. You can't just sit there and say it's all going to happen to me.
No, and the one list that she mustn't make is the list that she expects the man that she's going to meet will look like or be like.
Yeah.
That's so wrong, because 9 times out of 10, that is not who you'll settle with. But do some sensible profiling. Don't go looking for a 30-year-old, for instance, or, you know, somebody that's completely out of your sphere. You're looking, you know what kind of a person is going to be looking for somebody like you, and that this way I always think, who's going to be looking for somebody like me, for instance? A screwball, probably. Some poor soul.
Guest for between 11 and 12, Mark Hilliard. But he's found our conversation fascinating. So I'm going to hand over to Delissa. And if you've got time for Mark in this as well, we've got about less than 5 minutes. So
I'll just tell you then what Mark just told me, which I think is wonderful, that he went on to eHarmony.
Yeah.
And within 2 weeks, he met somebody and they're getting married. Yeah. It's just fantastic.
So to go more into the journey, how long
was
the time? Well,
what was really interesting that Mark said was that they got to know each other, I'm right, aren't I, Mark, over a period of 2 weeks. So
that's correct.
Before you actually met. Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and so in other words, they that may seem like a short time, but actually that's kind of quite taking it slowly, much more slowly than some people do. They just meet somebody online and go and meet them straight away. So, and then as soon as they met, they knew that was the right person. So, and then they moved in with each other and lived together for some time. And
yeah,
now they're getting married. And the bride has picked out her wedding dress. And
so actually moving, living together is quite an important step in itself, isn't it? Mm. Getting together, but there's still real no commitments on both sides, but you know you're committed.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're getting to know each other and getting to know each other's foibles before you do that thing called getting married. Because a lot of people, they rush to the wedding, I think, and they're getting married for the wedding, not for the marriage. And that's, I think, the crucial difference as well. So, yeah, it's good. And it's that was eHarmony.
Yes, it was, yes.
eHarmony, yeah. which is great. So, yeah, it's just that, as you said, you were very careful, you were honest, and you were, you know, careful with your profile. You did a lot of research before you decided which online, is that right?
Oh, definitely. And it's it was very interesting listening to what you had to say. I was just in the background just listening to you, and it's about being very, very careful, you know, with and being honest with yourself and just being yourself, because I wasn't looking for this. This is it just happened. And I think that's the key to it, is being yourself, being honest. And I know, Helen, you'll be listening now. So
good morning, Helen. Welcome to West Kent today.
So, and it just resonated so much with me when I was walking through and just listening into your conversation when you invited me in. So, yeah.
He's blushing, Helen.
I certainly am.
Well, we all have different stories to tell, which is great, isn't it?
But it's just lovely, and it's lovely that you researched it, and as you said, you didn't go into it going, I'm going to get married, right? And, you know, that's just too... It's too much to be thinking about. It's actually meeting a friend, meeting somebody that you think you might get on with, and then letting it progress the way it should progress.
Definitely,
at the right sort of pace. So that's good news. That's a very good news story for Monday morning, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yeah, he's one of our 70%. We were talking about at the start of the show.
Yeah, that's a long time ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, here I am busy looking at the screen, but you've got about another 3 minutes if you want to feel it.
Well, what I was going to say was, I think you need to feel sorry for my friend James. I don't know if you guys might have any comment on this, but my friend James called me on Saturday because he'd just dropped his daughter off at a party. She's 14 years old. He dropped her off at a party with her friends. And he called me going, they're not wearing anything. His daughter has gone out for the evening wearing a barely there dress, and I honestly didn't know what to say to comfort him. I really didn't know what to say. I felt very sorry for him. I'm not a parent, so it's not something I can respond to.
No, we went when I was living in Clacton. We had some friends come down. We went round the town centre on a very cold Saturday night, and there was all these girls wearing very, very little. And my friend said, I didn't realise you lived in such a poor area that they couldn't afford proper clothes.
That's what I did say to my friend, you know, it's freezing out there. We've all got the heating up to what's it. And, you know, there's other girls going out with barely anything on. It's like heavens above. No change there, though, is there?
I don't know how they do it.
No.
I don't know either. Anyway. Okay, well.
Well, I'm going to play a track and then I'll see what happens after that. Okay? It goes on. With me is Delissa Needham and Mark Hilliard. Mark's going to be with me in the next hour as well. And we're just going to round things up with Delissa for this morning. She'll be back next month. hopefully that'll be just as exciting. There's more guessing. Right.
I think just to round up, John, we'll just say that I think what we've realised this morning is that what you must do when you're doing online dating is to take your time about it, not rush into it, to be honest, to be secure, and to mix that up with real life dating as well, to be out into the real world. And I think that's those two things are very important. And it's great to be sitting next to somebody who's a success story, actually. Well, I'm in the room with two men who are a success story, aren't they, really, in terms of online dating, because it's both of you. And I'm different because I like dating in the real world. But if anybody out there wants my date coaching services, they can find me on thedatist.co.uk. That's thedatist.co.uk. And I help with online, and I help with real world dating. And they can also buy my book, which is called How I Met My Man and How You Can Meet Yours.
Yes, it's a very good book.
It's funny.
It is funny. We shared that, what was it, when you first came in, was it last year sometime? Yeah. So it's always good for you. Right, thank you very much, Delissa. We're going up to the 11 o'clock news.